Praise the Lord. I praise and thank God for this wonderful time that the Lord gives us to be together. I thank God that He has given me this opportunity. I pray that the Lord would speak to your hearts, and it's not my words. The words of humans are limited. They cannot do justice to your souls. But the word of the Lord will do. And one thing that I will try to be careful is keep the focus on the word, make you read the scriptures, show it in the scriptures, and I will trust the Lord to do its job. All right. So today's focus is on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 19 is my plan. Let's see how time goes and how the Lord leads. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 19. I'll read just 13 to 16 for the start. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Praise God. Hallelujah. So, let me just quickly give you a background of what this this portion or this book is. Peter is, this is a letter of Peter, as you can clearly see from the heading. And Peter is writing to a set of Christians who are experiencing persecution, right? And in midst of persecution, Peter writes to them, and they are not just Christians who have now, they are Christians who are born again. So when you read chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again." Meaning, has made us born again. Meaning, we are not born again by any of our merit. It is God who allows us to be born again. It is His abundant mercy that if you are able to taste and see that the Lord is good, it is God's mercy on of our life. And maybe some of our children have not tasted this. Some of our children may not have experienced this. And you want to be praying, "Lord, as the sermon is being spoken, as the sermon is being, Lord, you would have mercy on some of those children." Every time you hear a sermon, for some of you, maybe it is a time to play. For some of you, it's maybe a time to read the unread messages on your phone. But I know one thing. When I look into the life of, into the family of Cornelius, I know one thing. During a sermon, there is an anointing that can fall. Right? I mean, this is what it says in the word. I mean, vajanam kettavaramel avande atmav. So every small sermon or a big sermon, main sermon, or if it's a youth sermon, the possibility is an anointing on your life. The possibility is it can transform your life. So coming back to this word. So it is a born again. So he's writing the letter to born again believers. When you read in chapter 1 verse 23, it says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible." Veendum janichavaroda ulla lekanam. He's addressing a set of born again Christians. That means today, for all those who are born again, the word is for you. And for those who are not born again, you want to be praying, "Lord, I pray there would be a spiritual birth in my children's life." And the greatest tragedy in our Christendom is a lot of us are baptized, but not many of us are born again. Because born again means you are a citizen of a different kingdom. You report to a different king. But a lot of the time, we see a lot of folks constantly reporting to the God of this world. But if you are born again, you have a taste, you have a hunger for spiritual matters. Hallelujah. So, this is the background of the scripture. One of the things worth, I think, emphasizing here is that you could see in chapter 1 is constantly that the born-again believers, Peter is not telling them that pray that the persecution would go. He's not saying pray that the trials would move away, but rather he's telling them certain truths, absolute truths. If you read chapter 1, verse 5, the last part, it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. So he's pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus. I mean, in midst of your suffering, if there is only one thing that you will need to tell a person is the Lord is coming soon. That is the only thing that can actually convey a message and give a living hope. So this is what the word of God says is that he's encouraging, you are kept by the power of God. Especially in our culture, there is a concept of sometimes you hear the statement saying, "Yan prarthichu nediyada." Prarthichathu konda ninne uvasichathu konda. No. The word of God is very clear. I mean, there is a responsibility to pray. There is a responsibility to fast. True. But this is, the word of God is very clear. You are kept by the power of God. Anganeyanengil ഏത് കൂടോത്രമാണ് എനിക്ക് എതിരെ ഫലിക്കുന്നത്? ഇഫ് ദ പവർ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ് അലൗസ് സസ്റ്റെയിൻസ് യു, വൈ ഡു വി ഫിയർ ദീസ് സ്മോൾ തിങ്സ്? വൈ ഡു വി ഫിയർ യുനോ വട്ട് ഹെറിഡിറ്ററി കേഴ്സസ്, യുനോ പാരമ്പര്യ ബന്ധനം? ദൈവത്താൽ വീണ്ടും ജനിച്ചു, ദൈവത്താൽ സൂക്ഷിക്കപ്പെടുന്നു, കർത്താവിൻ്റെ വരവിൽ എടുക്കപ്പെടുന്നു. There is a place for the enemy at all for the children of God. We have a war. I'm not saying we don't have a war. We have a war, but you are kept by the power of God. It was not, some of you might say, from my young age I have carefully woke up at morning 5 a.m. and prayed. If that is your strength, adoru vigrahama. According to the word of God, if you are relying on your whatever things you did sustained you, that is an idol. So it's a very thin line between recognizing this as a relationship and being a ritualistic. When I was a bit more younger than my current age, I would think, oh, innu prarthichilla adumonda ഞാൻ ഇന്ന് വീണ്. ഓ, ബിക്കോസ് ഐ ഡിൻ പ്രേ, ദാറ്റ്സ് വൈ ഐ ഫെൽ ഇൻ ടു ഗോട്ട് ഇൻ ടു എൻ ആക്സിഡൻറ്റ്. മൈ അതർ സൈഡ് ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് യു പ്രേഡ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം? വാട്ട് അബൌട്ട് ദ തിങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഗോഡ് ഇസ് ബീൻ ആൻസറിങ് ഫോർ യു ആൻഡ് ഡൂയിങ് ഫോർ യു വിച്ച് യു ഹാവ് ഇവൻ തോട്ട് ഓഫ് പ്രേയിങ് ഫോർ? പ്രാർത്ഥനയിൽ ചിന്തിക്കാത്ത തലങ്ങളിൽ പോലും ദൈവം പ്രവർത്തിച്ചുകൊണ്ടിരിക്കുക. How many areas the Lord is sustaining us, and sometimes we constrain ourselves to a very limited God, a God who is doing, a God of karma God. Alle ah nee adu cheyda paranja kettilla angane. I mean, there is a consequence of disobedience. That's a, please don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, children, don't take this as a spade against your parents to say, no. There is a response for consequences to disobedience. But you are kept by the power of God. And that is why if you send your children away from this place also, remember, it is not you. It is the power of God that is going to sustain your children when they're going to the schools, when they're going to colleges, when they're going to their future, you know, whatever decisions they make, it is the power of God that is sustaining them, and it is not any of us. All right? So let's come to the theme verse. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ. So you can see the second time it is being repeated about the revelation of Christ. The first time was in 1 verse 5. 1 verse 7 again says, you may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Christ, Jesus Christ. So in chapter 1, you can see three times one thing is emphasized, the revelation of Christ, or the day that Jesus is coming. I know a lot of us tend to have our Christian life so regularly, but there is a dangerous truth which I'll, God willing, come to, is how much of us are eager for the revelation of Christ, right? If you're in fact, the word Bible, in the Bible, you will see every time the revelation of Christ is attached to a believer, it says eagerly waiting, eagerly waiting. We'll come there. So, to the persecuted believers who probably are discouraged, or who probably are, you know, feeling weak, Peter writes a word here. He's saying, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Girding up means moving any obstruction that hinders you to move freely. And it's the girding up the loins of your mind. Meaning, let's translate it to our current stages or current day. Anything that clutters your mind, anything that slows you down, move it. Sometimes it is your plans. Sometimes we are so planned that God cannot work his plan at all. In the scripture, Peter is saying, encouraging all of us, is saying, how is your mind? If, you know, for the people who are going to do the media team, one of the things I'll say is this hashtag mental health. That's my focus. How is your mind? A Christian is victorious from the mind. Transform yourself by renewing your mind. Meaning, if your mind perspective changes, you are changed. You are what you think. You will be what you think. Now, this is not to say, you know, positive thinking. Please, don't get me wrong. That is not at all what I'm saying. I am saying, based on the word of God, there are things that come into your mind that you may be worried about, that you may be discouraged about, that people's statements must have discouraged you, prevented you from moving forward. And the word of God is saying, no, move away everything that prevents you from moving forward. Sometimes it is in your own family life. There may be things that constantly pop up in your mind that prevents you from moving forward. And Peter over here is saying, gird up. Sometimes for us, some of us, it is sloth. You know, just lazing around. The trials clutter our mind. The sloth clutter our mind. We become what we think. There's a terminology in the computer world, bear with me, all of those who are, you know, good at this IT thing. There's a word called GIGO, G-I-G-O. It's called garbage in, garbage out. What you feed yourself with is going to come out. I was telling to my Sunday school students, last day I went to play soccer with a few Christian friends. Everybody Christian, everybody in the nearby churches. Okay, not everybody. All of the players were from nearby churches. And there was a point where an opponent attacks another person and he trips. When he trips and falls down, I hear the cuss word come out. Sometimes it is good to go to games with some of these people. Karna, when you are fouled, when you are wrongly accused, that is when you are... See, in the church, we all are waiting for the Lord's coming. On Monday, I don't think a lot of us are. So I have often played, I play sometimes games, even in the past church with the youths. When they are fouled, when there is a constant losing, you will see how the attitude is. And especially if you are a good player and you are frustrated by these unprofessional players, in your heart at least, I heard it from his mouth at least, but a lot of us in our heart has already said the word. And in God's eyes, you are same as one who has told it. Gird your mind. Things that clutter your mind, get it out of the way. Oh, Rabba Shemanadia. Meaning, this prevents your Christian life. Gird up the loins of your mind. Every time oppression comes, your spiritual life, you can find it challenging to move on. Sometimes you may experience failures in life. Sometimes you feel great losses in life. Those prevent you from moving forward. It is true God is sovereign. It is true God knows everything. And through all of that, we have a responsibility. Even when we are kept in the power of God, is to clear your mind. Why do you think every Sunday, I thank God for Sundays, because you know what, maybe there are some days I'm weak, some weeks I'm totally weak. The past 3 weeks I've been sick, and my spiritual life, I was telling it to one of the brothers, I was like, I haven't had time to pray. And every Sunday is a time where I'm having the opportunity to clear the clutter. Remember, don't keep it for Sunday. That's not the what I'm saying. But at least Sunday is a good day to vacuum your mind. Because the word of God does its job pretty well. It's not the vocabulary. It is the anointing of the Spirit. Because this is what I said. You know, in the family of Cornelius, they heard the word. Nobody laid their hands. Suddenly, you can be cleansed by the word. You are purified by your faith in Jesus. This is all the word of God. Nothing is from me. All right. So, Midianites were, in the Old Testament, you see the Midianites oppressing the Israelites. Everybody is hiding. Let's go to Judges chapter 6, verse 21. So Midianites, Israelites are going through a constant phase of oppression. Judges chapter 6, verse 21. And we see, the word of God says, the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the meat. Did I make a mistake on that? Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you man of mighty valor." Israel is experiencing constant defeat. You ask Gideon personally, "Hey, where is the God of Israel?" In fact, he asked God himself, "Wait, if God is there with us, why are we constantly experiencing defeat?" Meaning, he looked at his circumstances and said, "Oh, we are not in a good shape." But God looks at you and calls you mighty man of valor. Allyo parakramashali. Where? What is the circumstances? Oru jayakodi pole uyarnittilla. Not a single banner of victory is raised up, but God calls him mighty man of valor. God is dealing directly with the mind. God is calling you in midst of all of the oppression. God doesn't see you based off of the circumstances. God sees you based off of his vision for you. And his vision for us is always going up like an eagle. We often, like the hen, like the chicken that tries to eat a worm, is eating down dead stuff or these small stuffs. But the eagle aims for the bigger ones. We are called for a higher calling. We are called for a heavenly calling. How is your mind? How is your mental health? Some of you constantly are depressed. Some of us constantly think negative. This happened, that means this is going to happen. Stop projecting. I was telling to a brother of mine, you know, we can do good projects since we say, yesterday I fell, today I fell, possibility is tomorrow I? No, stop projecting. You want to learn from it. But the Lord is able to call you in a different way. He's not calling Gideon as a, you know, somebody who's scared. He's calling him, man of mighty valor. And he adds one more statement. I am with you. If I am with you, clear the clutter of your mind. Situations should not define you. Move away the things that is hindering you. That prevents you from moving fast. Back in Kerala, for those who have been in Kerala, we would have that, the men wear the mund, or kaili, whatever you call, right? And usually they leave it down. But if they have to do some active work, they're going to lift it up, right? And they're going to tuck it, they're going to gird it. You know why? That means I have a task to step into. Enikkoru athyavashya karyam. Or if you see those who wear full sleeves, let's say, "Hey, acha, idonnu pidikka," or "Brother, can you help me with this?" You know what do we do? Roll up a sleeve. That's a preparedness. And the Lord is encouraging us. Prepare your mind to spring into action. What do you have in your mind? Prepare your mind to spring into action. Meaning being ready. Girding up, one side is moving the clutter, but the other side is being prepared to step into action, to spring out into action. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Very familiar verses, nothing's unfamiliar for us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight that slows you down. നമ്മുടെ മുന്നോട്ടുള്ള യാത്രയെ തടസ്സപ്പെടുത്തുന്ന പുതുക്കെ അതിലെ അതിൻ്റെ വേഗതയെ കുറയ്ക്കുന്നതെല്ലാം ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻ സേ ഗോ ബറി ദ വെയിറ്റ് ഒന്നുമല്ല. ഇറ്റ് ജസ്റ്റ് മൂവ് ഇറ്റ് എ വേ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഇറ്റ്. That's all you need to do. If you have a weight, you don't need to go find a place, go find a counselor, ask about the weight. No. You just need to lay aside, just push it slightly and go forward. Gird up the loins of your mind, clear the clutter, move away everything that restrains you. Weights come from different ways in our world. Can we read Matthew chapter 13 verse 22? Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. We see the word of God is not coming to fruit because there are two thorns: cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Sometimes for some people it's about, hey, you know, is my money growing? For the others it's maybe about, is my business growing? Right? For others it may be about, oh, is my relationships are all growing? And for the others it's about cares of this world. They all slow you down, and we often struggle with this. And സൺഡേയിലെ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കപ്പെട്ട വചനത്തിൻ്റെ ഇടയ്ക്ക് ഈ മുള്ളുണ്ടെങ്കിൽ ഇത് ഫലമാകത്തില്ല. ദി ഓൺലി വേ ഫോർ ദ വേർഡ് ടു ബി ഫ്രൂട്ട്ഫുൾ ഇസ് യു ക്ലിയർ ദ തോൺസ്, ആൻഡ് യു ഡോണ്ട് ഡു ഇറ്റ് ഓൺ സൺഡേ. യു ക്ലിയർ ദ തോൺസ് ബിഫോർ യു കം, സോ ദാറ്റ് ദ വേർഡ് ഫോൾസ് ഓൺ ഗുഡ് സോയിൽ ഡയറക്ട്ലി. യു ഡോണ്ട് വാണ്ട് ദ വേർഡ് ടു പുഷ് ദ തോൺ ഔട്ട്, യു ഡു ദ തോൺ, ടേക്ക് ദ തോൺസ് ഔട്ട്, റൈറ്റ്? യു ടേക്ക് let not the cares of this world put you down. You want to be on the other side. I was saying about girding up the loins of your mind. You want to be ready, you want to be prepared to act. I don't want to now read verses. I think time's really flying. I barely touched the first part. Is the preparedness of a servant that is waiting for a master, the readiness. A servant that waits for a master is not concerned about, he has his own physical tiredness, but one thing is there: when the master comes, he's ready. So this is, again, this is all with the mind. How is your mind? Is it ready to spring to action? Brother, can you do this? Oh man, I've been doing this for the past some time. I'm discouraged. Last time that brother told me that, I'm discouraged. No, the word of God is saying, clear the clutter. Put away everything that slows you down in your relationship with God. Put away everything, clear it away. Clear the clutter. Be prepared to act. Let's go to Proverbs chapter, let's go to Ezekiel 16 verse 49. I touched about sloth. People who are lazy, they're saying, can you do something? I don't know. What plans tomorrow? So the clutters. Ezekiel 16, 49. This is a sin of Sodom that nobody preaches usually. Ezekiel 16, 49. Got it? Yeah. I'll get it from there, Sandeep. So, one, they had pride. Second, fullness of food. Third, abundance of idleness. Fourth, neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Let me ask the parents over here. What are the potential possibilities of our children having the second and the third? Fullness of food. On Sunday afternoon, even in our house, we want to go to Mr. Jones. Because we have the availability. That's not a sin. But see, abundance. When you want this or that. No. I don't want A or B. I'm going to make a new combination C. Now you have to make it. Abundance of idleness. Endoda parivadi? Onnilla. There is nothing for our children to do. There is nothing. Our children, if we ask them to do a task, we are worried if it will affect their health. This was the sin of Sodom. I'm not bringing it up. Everybody talks about homosexuality in Sodom. What about this in every house? How many times should we be encouraged if church has a need? How many times do we need to say, ഒരു തരം, രണ്ട് തരം, മൂന്ന് തരം? Let's call one, call two, call three. Abundance. അച്ഛ എന്തുവായിരുന്നു പരിപാടി? ഒന്നുമില്ല. Abundance of idleness can lead you to a sin. And can you go to verse 50? And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. God's judgment against such is different. Sometimes it'll be one of a kind. Right? Everybody will remember Sodom and Gomorrah. What is the sin we'll say? Homosexuality. What about abundance of food? What are we working for? Our children should not struggle. Right? What are we working for? Comfortable life. Comfortable life is not, I'm not saying that's a sin. Jesus said, come, take rest. That is there. But if rest is excess, that is idleness. Youngsters, have things planned in mind. Study the scriptures. How many of you have read the Bible cover to cover? Right? I am sure you have made sure that you have responded to every text of your friend. Some of you might say, oh no, I didn't check. Oh, fine, all right. You may have some other sin. Right? Some of you are very active, making sure every friend is responded to. But the word of God is saying, abundance of idleness is a sin. In fact, there is a phrase, idle mind is a devil's workshop. And the word of God is saying, gird up the loins of your mind. Remove the clutter. Take away everything that is heavy. Maybe you're worried about your family life. Maybe you're worried about your future career. Maybe you're worried about, oh, how my parents treated me. Take away all of the clutter and let the word of God do its job. And I'll just quickly wrap up with this because I'm not going to get anywhere with it if I kept going. Let's redo, be sober. The second part of the verse, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Sober means be self-controlled. Be self-controlled means don't be under the control of anything else. Or a phrase that I would like to say is L-U-I, living under influence. You have heard of DUI, right? Would you be found guilty for L-U-I, living under the influence of the world? Be self-controlled, meaning don't allow yourself to be controlled by media. Don't allow yourself to be controlled by the songs you hear. If the songs you hear has cuss words in it, if the songs you hear are written by people who are demonic, sometimes I personally would say, even if heavy metal also, I'm like, what is it? I don't hear any words. What do you hear? Be self-controlled. Choose what you want to hear. You are going to be what you hear. Garbage in, garbage out. That is a truth that will always happen. Nee aatmavil vidichal aatmavil koyum, jadathil vidichal jadathil koyum. You sow in the flesh, you will reap in the flesh. You sow in the spirit, you will reap in the spirit. You have to decide what you sow. And Peter is saying to a set of people that are oppressed, he's not saying the fiery trials will go away. He's saying is, how is your mind in midst of all of this? True, maybe as a family you have faced some things. Maybe as a church you have faced some things. How is your mind, brother, today? Remember, three times the thing that is emphasized in that chapter is the revelation of Christ. Kartavinte varavu. How many of us eagerly, at least once a week, this is not good. Once a week is not good. I don't have the opportunity to go. But there's multiple places where it says, maybe I'll just read one verse. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28. I'll close with that. It's already gone. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. You know, saw the word eagerly wait. We all are happy about Kartavinte varavu. Pashe, how many of us are eagerly waiting? How many of us, you know, like how I would go to, when Sam is left after school, if you're a few minutes late, he waits and he looks out. He's saying, hey, where's my dad? You know, that is eagerly waiting. He just wants to go. You know, like the last period of your school where you are waiting for that bell to ring, eager. Eppa idadikum. Eppa poga. We all are saying kartavinte varave ponam, but eagerly waiting. There at least I have like 7 verses everywhere. It says to those who are eagerly waiting. Often we are saying kartave varaname, yeah kartave ippa varaname innu varaname, eagerly waiting. This is what Peter is saying here. I mean, the word of God is encouraging us. When you experience persecution, when you go through sufferings, when you go through depression, how is your mind? Clear off all the clutter. Take away all things that prevent you from moving forward. I mean, be self-controlled. Don't live under the influence of the world. And finally, the third part of that verse is saying, I mean, have your hope fully upon the grace that is to be revealed at the revelation of Christ. Christuvinte varavengal velippodanulla krubaye orthu adu, you know, let that be the word over there for hope is actively waiting for the word of God, actively waiting for God to be revealed. And may the Lord strengthen us in our mental health. Nammada generation, I think a lot of you know this. I have been to US, I have been to UK, I have been here. Everywhere the youngsters struggle with one thing: mental health. Ellaro, I can't handle that. We can't even give, you know, it's an interesting conversation. In our days, we had exams after exams. And every time you score, in my hostel, you fail for one, you get two. Not chocolates. And every subject you fail. I remember during the days of report card, the day the report card comes, I can hear the next class, because I used to stay in the boarding school. The next class, they'll be like, if you can know by the number of the shots he gets, you can know how many he flunked, how many he got through. Those were the days. All of those folks, they are alive now. But now our children, Mane, I can't get you that. I am depressed. Do you know the symptoms of depression? Do you know how severe it is? And we often categorize all these small upset moments as depression. Don't label yourself what the world, even the world doesn't label you. That is why you're living under influence. Sometimes you live under the influence of these, all these mental things. My parents did this. Oh, my parents said no to this. If you know God and you see your parents through the eyes of God, you will not be living under the influence. You will be able to clear your mind. You will be able to recognize, this is for my growth. This is for my spiritual growth. And this is at the end of the day. You know, whether you graduate, whether you do your master's, whether you don't do your master's, whether you do just a diploma, at the end of the day, at the revelation of Christ, you won't experience that grace of being welcomed in. All right? May God bless us with this word. At this time, I want to ask all of the Sunday school students to come forward for their testimonies.